Welcome to the Authentic Health Coaching Show. My name is Tom Corson-Knowles, founder of Authentic Health Coaching, and we're so glad you joined us for the show today. Please accept our free gift with Dr. Corson's Top 5 Nutrition Tips. It's the number one guide to taking your health to the next level, and you can get your free copy at AuthenticHealthCoach.com. Now, today on the show, we have an incredible guest for you, JJ Flazanes, and JJ is really, she's a celebrity fitness expert and fitness trainer, and she's created some of the most amazing fitness programs in the world, including the Foundations Program for the New York Sports Club, and Invisible Fitness, and Fit to Love, which she's talking about today. And she's been named by Elite Traveler Magazine as their 2007 Global Black Book pick of Best Personal Trainer in Los Angeles, and she's also been praised by Shape Magazine as one of the top 6 fitness trainers in 2003. And JJ is the author of the Amazon.com best-selling book Fit to Love, How to Get Physically, Emotionally, and Spiritually Fit to Attract the Love of Your Life. And we talked with JJ today exactly about how you do that, how to get physically, emotionally, and spiritually fit and attract that special someone into your life. So enjoy the show today, take great notes, and make it an incredible day.
JJ, thanks so much for being with us today on the Authentic Health Coaching Show. Tell us more about your background and what got you interested in this Fit to Love concept.
Well, for many years, I've been interested in writing a book. I've got a lot of information. I've been speaking to groups. I've been teaching trainers for many years and feel like I have a lot of information to share and maybe a slightly different perspective than some people have been introduced to before. But when I was actually inspired by Jeanine Ross' last book called Women, Food, and God, and as I was reading Jeanine's book, I realized that a lot of her information, I mean, it's very personal, it's all her story, and her credibility comes from her story and her ability to communicate how she's transformed her life and helped other people through what she's learned about her own struggles with food and overeating and weight loss. And it really inspired me to consider what my story was, because I've never been that trainer who has lost, 100 pounds or even 70 pounds or even 50 pounds, who's overcome some great weight loss, and now I'm so inspired I want to go help others. That's never been me, because it's never just been about the weight or about how you look. It's about how you feel mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and about what your performance level is in life across the board, that you're happy with your body, that you love your body, and that you don't just look at whether or not what your waist size is and determine your self-worth. So when I went back and looked at my story, what is my story? I had a person I was working with at the time who noticed a trend of a lot of very attractive, overweight women who were single, well-accomplished, educated, good-paying jobs, but for some reason single. And he said, can you write something about that? And I realized that putting fitness and love together was exactly my story. So I said, wow, Fit to Love, that's my story. I can write about that. So that's kind of how it came to be, because it also differentiates me from the pack, because I'm not just interested in how much cardio you're doing and what you're eating and what kind of exercise you're doing. I'm interested in what you're thinking. I'm interested in how you're feeling. I'm interested in how you treat your body and talk to yourself. I'm interested in your self-worth and if you feel like you're worthy and you love yourself. All of those things together to me equal the greatest amount of results you could ask for. Because most people who are out there searching for a thinner body think that they'll be happier when they get it. Any pursuit of changing your body is because you think you're going to feel better when you get to your goal. But the reality of it is, you can feel better now. And until you feel better now, I don't believe you're going to get to the end result.
Mm-hmm. That's deep. And I think that's so true, is that if you're always chasing that goal at the end, you don't really enjoy the journey, and it's the journey that makes life worthwhile.
Absolutely, and a lot of people get there by mistake, right? They'll realize one day that they've gotten to their goal because they were so engaged in something that was so joyous or something they really enjoyed, they didn't even notice, and all of a sudden their life is different. If you're beating against the wall and saying, oh, I have to change this, but I don't want to, it's such a struggle, and that's why people don't think exercise and weight loss is easy, because they think of it as a struggle. Oh, I have to give up all the foods I love. I have to work out longer and harder. And they associate those things with pain. But yet the pursuit of all of it is to feel better. And the reality of it is you can feel better right now. Mm-hmm.
So how do you do that? How do you start feeling better right now?
Well, it starts with a check-in. I have 5 steps in Fit to Love that I have people look through and read about and do some exercises around. And actually, before you get into the 5 steps of how to get more fit to love and fit to love for yourself as well as others because you're the blueprint. The first step is the blueprint, asking yourself, what is my body blueprint? How do I treat myself? What's the template of my relationship with myself that I put out there to the world? Because the bottom line is, if you don't love and respect yourself, why would you expect someone else to?
So true.
How do you treat yourself? If you disrespect yourself by saying that you look fat and ugly, then why would it be a shock if someone else made some kind of reference, right? So you have to set the tone, set the bar, say this is what's acceptable. And so I have a checklist of things that people, and I have lots of questions in the book about what your current body blueprint is. And then once you figure out what it is, it's an eye-opener. And then you can do the next exercise, which is how do you start to change it? So really getting a concept of what are the nonverbal cues and nonverbal messages that I'm sending out there to other people to let them know how to treat me and how I'm treating myself. So that's really the first, like an analysis. You know, anywhere you go, whether you meet with a fitness professional or a doctor or somebody, you do, you know, that initial consultation. You gather the information. So that's the gathering information part, is your body blueprint. And then there are five steps. And these are steps that you can do that are, you know, every once a month, once a year, once a quarter. The first step is called clean the slate. And I give examples in the book of the different kinds of cleaning the slate. So, for instance, like your physical body. Cleaning the slate for your physical body would be very obviously like a detox, some kind of, you know, cleansing that you would do to eliminate things that are in your body, both toxins and any stuck foods, as well as eating cleaner foods to help your body sort of rejuvenate itself. So a detox for the physical body. And then there's things like your physical environment, clutter clearing. You know, when you live amongst a lot of clutter, it sucks your energy. So for people that feel really sluggish all the time and live amongst piles of stuff, even just moving it into another room gives a breath of life and fresh air to the, you know, this room that you've just cleared out. So anyway, I go through different kinds of steps in cleaning the slate. Are you familiar with detoxing and done any detoxes?
Yeah, absolutely. We've talked about that quite a bit on the show. And, you know, I think that's so important, too, that you kind of get rid of the old so you leave space for the new, because so many people's lives are so cluttered in terms of time, in terms of what they're eating, in terms of what they're doing with their time, that there's just not room for anything better in their life.
Right. So it's great psychologically, spiritually, emotionally, and even physically. I mean, it's been proven that stuff in your space makes you lethargic. Mm-hmm. People feel more energetic when they clean their stuff out. So, so your physical body, your physical environment, your current relationships. You know, a lot of times people have these ideas that there are people in their lives, whether they be family or old-time friends or neighbors or whatever, and that this is the way it is. So they never take a step back to ask themselves, how does this person's energy affect me? Is this a person who makes me feel good, that I feel energized by being around? Or is this someone who is sabotaging and makes me feel badly about myself and makes me want to go eat a whole bag of cookies or something? So really getting clear about the kinds of relationships you have. So if some are toxic or if they're uplifting, and then being able to identify who to spend more time with and who to spend less time with, or even who to get rid of, whether it be a romantic relationship or a friendship, or if it's family, you can't really get rid of them, but you can definitely spend less time with them. Because that also affects your energy as well. And then the last section of the clean the slate is your emotional baggage. So stuff that you've been holding on to, ways of believing and thinking that may make you feel bad, that may keep you in patterns and habits that don't serve you when it comes to food or exercise, or even just being able to trust people. So, yeah, it gets deeper, but it can get as deep as you want it to get. But it's just, I want to identify the emotional baggage as an area for people to consider diving into, because I'm sure you've talked about emotional baggage on the show, right?
Yeah, totally. It's a huge issue with people's health, is that they have so many emotions attached to their health and their weight or whatever problems they have.
Right. So looking at that and releasing some of that or shifting it can really make a person's life change instantly. When you can release something you've been holding on to, and some people don't even know what they're holding on to, which is why I created the 6-Week Beach Body Program with Adelaide O'Dunton, because it uses hypnosis. So sometimes you don't need years of therapy. It can really be as simple as just using some hypnosis to change your subconscious. So that's step one. Step two of Fit to Love is sexual fitness, which is really fun because people think sexual fitness, you know, does that just mean getting better at sex? And it really isn't about getting better at sex necessarily. Of course, there is, this is divided into three sections too. The physical aspect is, yes, sex is physical. So the more in shape you are, the longer you'll last, and the more flexible you may be, and the, you know, range of motion will increase. So it could, sex could potentially be better when you work on your body. But sex is also sport specific. So I actually list some exercises in the book to consider doing to increase both your flexibility, your endurance, and things that may help sex be better. Your sexual essence is a huge one. That's under the chapter title, Sexual Fitness. Your sexual essence is the difference between masculine and feminine energies. And a lot of women like me who are in businesses and own their own business or out there in the working world or they're in corporate America, you know, we can very easily play with the men. We know how to put the masculine face on, and we like it. It feels good to get things done and to be proactive and goal-oriented, and it feels really good. But if you're a woman looking for a man and you are in your masculine, the man probably won't be attracted to you in the way you'd like him to be, because a man who's masculine will not be attracted to another masculine man, unless he's gay, and in which case, you're out of luck anyway. Right? So, it's about, for women, and I think it's more of a problem for women than it is for men, because women can go so easily into their masculine and feel good about it that they forget what it's like to feel feminine, and they don't realize how necessary the feminine energy is for a man. Mm-hmm. And for themselves. I mean, it's exhausting to be masculine. For women, we aren't built that way. We don't have the amount of testosterone guys do in order for us to sustain having that, using that masculine energy all day long, every day. The feminine energy is replenishing. So that's another huge part of sexual fitness. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, the emotional well-being. Obviously, all the emotions attached to sex and your sexuality and your identification of how much masculine or feminine energy you use. So that's step number two. I know I'm like running through this book. Do you have any questions?
No, this is awesome. Keep going.
Okay. step number three. The chapter title is A Food Love Affair. And I use the relationship with food. I kind of parallel it to the relationship with a person. So I've sectioned out the book as the courtship, the engagement, and the marriage, and then food is sex. So really being able to, for a lot of people, food is no different than the gas in their car. It's energy. So they detach themselves from the idea that they can have a relationship with food. Because most of us don't have a relationship with gasoline. And nor do we want one. You know, we go to the gas station, we put gas in our car, end of story. However, food is different. I believe that people that grow their own food, cook their own food, cut their own food, and handle themselves have less of a chance of having an issue with food than people who don't, because they have a better relationship with food.
That's a good point.
They're more connected to their food. If food is something that you can be unconscious about because someone else cooks it, someone else brings it to you, someone else cleans it up, someone else picks it and grows it and travels it to wherever you're going to buy it from, then you get to lovingly disconnect from it and give it no weight, give it no attention. But when you all of a sudden get really excited about a lemon that grew on my lemon tree outside, all of a sudden cutting it and enjoying it becomes an experience, a very satisfying, full body, emotionally engaged experience. So I'm not going to necessarily overeat. And of course, I'm not going to overeat lemons, but you know, if that could be said for anything. If I'm growing my own, we have a peach tree in the front. It hasn't had any fruit on it yet. But once it does, you know, how excited are you going to be to eat a peach off our peach tree? So anyway, the food chapter is really about looking at that relationship. Where are you with your relationship with food? Are you in a courtship or are you in dysfunction? Are you, if you and your food were a relationship with a person, how would you classify it? What would you say about it? And how can you change it? So that's really what this chapter is about.
That's awesome. That's so true that if you're more connected to your food, you're just going to pay more attention to what you're eating, to what you're doing. You're not going to just, you know, find yourself in front of the TV eating a whole gallon of ice cream and not even knowing, you know, how you got there.
Right. And your sympathetic nervous system and your digestion and your metabolism gets affected too. When you are completely in alignment, if you really working together to enjoy and savor the moment, everything works better. When you're disconnected and you're, you know, at the TV or in front of your computer and you're mindlessly, unconsciously eating something, you're asking your body to do 10 different things at one time, which it can do, but it isn't going to be able to do it as well as if you're really present and giving your full attention to what it is you're eating.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So
that's actually one of Jeanine Ross' points in her book, is that you never do anything else when you're eating. Now, I still multitask when I eat, but I don't do it all the time, and I do grow and cook my own food, so I have a very good connection with my food. But she feels for anyone who is dealing with overeating issues that the first step is to really stop cold turkey doing anything when you're eating except sitting at a table with your food, with no TV, no, you know, nothing else distracting you, just you and your food. So, okay, step four is called wear sexy underwear. And it's not just about wearing sexy underwear. However, that does help for some people. It doesn't help me. I'm not that person. But there are a lot of women that feel so sexy and great, and their confidence just goes up 10 notches when they have sexy underwear on underneath their clothes. This isn't about wearing sexy underwear for other people. This is about for you, what makes you feel good. And again, like I said, it's not just the underwear part. It can be anything. For women, it can be adorning themselves with jewelry or wearing makeup or doing their hair. And again, not because you're trying to impress anybody else, because you're doing it so you're pleased with it. I'm a big one of don't do something for anybody else. Do it for yourself, because what happens when that person goes away? It's a codependent issue that I don't think is very healthy. So any of my suggestions that I'm making is always to help your relationship with yourself, period. And then because you love and respect yourself, then you will have better relationships with others.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I mean, I got to say, as a guy, it's a lot more attractive when a woman, when you can tell, feel that difference with the energy when she's, you know, dressed up because she wants to feel good about herself versus, you know, she wants the attention to be on her.
Right. Isn't confidence one of the things that are most attractive to men?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So if a woman is confident because she feels good about herself, then you'll be more attracted to her than someone who is, like, looking sheepishly around for someone to give them a compliment, because otherwise they don't feel good.
Right, totally.
Actually, in this book, I've interviewed 5 guys. So there's masculine voices all throughout this book. Uh-huh. Because I wanted it to be for both men and women, and I wanted especially the women to hear the men's point of view. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes women get in there, they tell themselves these stories in their heads that aren't true. You know, what's important to women is not the same as what's important to men. And they don't bother to ask the man, you know, what's important to you, and then really hear it. They think, oh, no, that can't be important. No, no, he really wants this. So he, no, that's not that important. So I wanted to represent both sides here. So for a man, wear sexy underwear could be wearing a tie, nice shoes, putting on a suit, whatever makes a man feel, you know, everyone's going to be a little different. If you're going out, maybe my husband, he's a great shopper, so maybe accessorizing and looking beachy and having a hat or something, you know, he loves hats. So it could be just different for any guy. It's just something that makes you feel good. So anyway, I go through the book and give different suggestions for both men and women about what you can do. And then step number 5, the last step of Fit to Love, is called Thank Your Lucky Stars. And again, this is it's a concept that people understand. This is what's funny to me. Everybody who is in the world of some kind of spirituality or self-growth or wellness has heard this, I'm sure, between The Secret and everything else that's been out around Law of Attraction and things like that. Everyone understands that gratitude and appreciation is important. But there are so many people that just, that's like lip service. They don't do it. They don't have a gratitude journal. They don't speak of things they appreciate on a daily basis. They don't look for the positive in all the situations. They complain about the negative. But it's a very, very simple concept. It is so powerful. I mean, in the book I try to explain different ways that you can do it and ways that I've been doing it, that it can really shift your whole life. You have the ability in any situation for every day and for the rest of your life to decide how to think about something and how to feel, and looking to see what's good out of something or complaining about what you think isn't there. And we're so trained. I mean, look at the news. Do you ever, how many good stories in a half an hour newscast is on?
Usually zero.
Right. I mean, CNN has been deemed constantly negative news. So it's, if you watch any of these programs, even for 10 minutes, you start to get a little depressed and feel nervous, because that's their job, is what can I make you nervous about today? What can I warn you about? And if you live in that world, of course it's going to be really easy to identify things that aren't working for you. But that world isn't going to serve you if you're trying to feel better and be happy. Mm-hmm. So Thank You, Lucky Stars is really about taking control over your thoughts and, if nothing else, practicing every day some form of appreciation, so that way the universe gives you more to appreciate and you just feel better. Even if nothing changes and you just look at five things that you could feel happy about today instead of five things you could complain about, regardless of, you know, whether it changes tomorrow or not, you just feel better. And again, happy people attract happy people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So what is one of your favorite things to do every day to bring that gratitude into your life?
I have two things, actually. I do affirmations, and I only recently added affirmations back into my life, actually this year, like literally a month ago, because I was doing the same ones for years and years and years, and I realized that I was watching Louise Hay's You Can Heal Your Life movie. I happened to be home, and I had the day off, and I was looking through the movies, and I thought, what do I want to watch? And I stumbled upon this movie and thought, oh, I want to watch this again. So I did, and I was really inspired to write new affirmations, because the ones I had been using were so dated, like 10 years ago. I'm not that person anymore. The things that I was saying in those affirmations are not really reflective of what I want out of my life and how I really believe. So I wrote brand new affirmations. So I've been doing those for about a month. Yeah, about a month. And I love them. But prior to that, what I do every day, and I have been doing for the last 3.5 years, is how people have not coaching calls, but accountability calls with friends or partners. I know real estate people do it, where they, like, once a week or once every day, they get on the phone call with somebody and they go over their goals or something. Well, I sort of have an accountability partner, my best friend, and we play the wouldn't it be fun game or I appreciate game. And basically, we just run through all the lists of things that we appreciate and what we look forward to and things that make us feel good. And sometimes I leave 2 or 3 messages because I talk so much and get on a roll about, it's like people that worry and complain, you can find 10 people to contribute to that conversation. You can go on for hours. You can complain and complain and complain. But I want to do the opposite. I want to talk about things that are really exciting, that are feel good, and I want to milk it. I want to milk all the positive, fun feelings, like how beautiful it was yesterday with the sun shining on the ocean, and how I got a great rollerblading after a workout with a client, and how I was feeling so amazing in my body. And I want to talk about those things. And so that's what I do every day.
Uh-huh. Well, that's awesome. Well, JJ, I'm so grateful to have you on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd. It was awesome to be here, and thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, and so before you go, where can people get more information about you and your books?
Fit to Love is on Amazon, so is the Absolute Ab book. So if you just type in to Amazon.com, JJ Flazanes, it'll bring up my books. But if you want to find out more about Fit to Love, there's some free stuff to download, a Fit to Love 4-week plan on the website. That's fit2love.info. So www.fit2love.info. And that'll take you right there, and you can actually get to the Amazon page to buy the book there if you are interested, or just download the free product and see what you think. Mm-hmm. And start today with doing some of these exercises.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, JJ.
You're welcome, Tom. Thank you.
Hey there, it's Tom Corson Knowles again. Hope you loved the show today with JJ Flazanes. We would love to hear what you thought about the show, so please check out our show, Authentic Health Coaching Show, on iTunes, and give us a review. Let us know what you think. We would love to hear your feedback, and if there's any questions you have or anything we can do to help, come join us at AuthenticHealthCoach.com. Wishing you the best of health, wellness, and happiness. Have a great day. Take care.